Rocksaw Musecast Experience with Aaron Tay, Patrick, and Jermaine on a mission from God.
Part two of conspiracy theories, rock salt.
There's undocumented facts.
Oh, sorry.
It's undocumented, facts.
My apologies.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, where's your heckle fish, man? You know, I'm not even joking. I've thought a couple of times, I wonder how much I would have to tip AJ to get him on this show. Well, I would love to talk to AJ from Y-Files, wouldn't you, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. No, it'd be an interesting. Yeah, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, really. I think because it's some of it's entertainment, some of it's, you know, serious conversation, but.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I would skim conspiracy theories with AJ. I would probably want to talk about more about where he comes up with, you know, his content and how he makes it work and stuff like that. And the crazy things that he's found out and, yeah, you know, what does he believe? That's what I would want to talk to him about. But I think he's a really I think he's fantastic at what he does. I think he's got a great team. And he's a great content creator. And while we're on the subject of great content creators, I want to throw this other guy out because I think he deserves the recognition. Cash Jordan. Have you heard of this guy, Cash Jordan?
No, I've not.
All right. He's down. He's in New York and he reports on the things going on in New York and he keeps it apolitical. He points out the facts where they are. So he will point to, you know, Mayor Eric Adams. If Eric Adams has let criminals out, you know, whatever. But I don't know what side of the fence this guy is on. And that's the best way to report on stuff. And the way he creates his content is entertaining as well. So it's a little entertainment education thing, but he gives you a real view on what's going on in New York right now without the BS politics. So check out Cash Jordan, C-A-S-H, Cash Jordan.
I'll put a link to him on the,
I like him
YouTube and all that.
I like him. So, in part one, we wrapped up with me talking about my conspiracy theory about the prices of housing and this 44% unrealized capital gains. Now, anybody doesn't realize or know what that means. That means if you have a stock that's worth that, let's just keep it easy and say $1,000, right? And it jumps to $2,000, but you haven't cashed out on that, you get to pay 44%, not just on that $1,000 that you gained that you haven't realized yet because you haven't cashed it out. You get to pay the 44% on the $2,000. If that happens, tell me that people that play the stock market won't yank their shares. They're absolutely going to do that. They're going to yank it all out and they're going to buy precious metals or they're going to invest in, some other commodity.
So if we see Nancy Pelosi take out all her money from the stock market.
Yeah. Watch Nancy very closely.
And buy a lot of gold.
Yeah. You should do the same.
You should do the same. There's people who do that now.
What's that? Why? Oh yeah. There's all kinds of, there's actually an app cause I downloaded it cause I wanted to do it and it will follow. You could tell it, hey, follow Nancy Pelosi's stock trades and it'll follow it and it'll make those same trades for you. So you don't even have to do it. It'll just do it for you. But you have to have a minimum of $100,000 to put in to use that app, which I don't have.
Wow. I know the Blaze, I'm a subscriber of the Blaze, have a 30 minute video, called Bought and Paid For, where it talks about Congress people who have become great.
Yeah.
Stock traders,
Republicans and Democrats.
Oh, it's both.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, getting back to it, my conspiracy theory is that's the plan all along. Implement this capital gains, crash the market, make it so people get out of their houses or can't afford them anymore. And who's gonna take over at that point? The housing market, the corporations, because they can afford to pay those capital gains.
I will be honest here, Dave, for probably the last, let's just say at least 5 years, has been talking about corporations buying houses.
Dave and Ramsey?
No, you.
Oh, me.
You, and driving the housing market up and keeping it up.
Yep.
And I have said, Dave, you're loony on this. And now I have become a believer. From the Shrek movie?
I didn't see
I'm
Shrek.
A believer.
Oh, yeah. Called? Yeah, I'm a believer.
Yes. Uh-huh. I don't know who's saying it.
That's Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth. Yeah. I'm a believer now.
Yeah.
In that. And so there's still things me and Dave disagree on, but I have come over to his side, I'm a believer. That's going on.
I'll bet P-Funk knows the answer to this question.
Okay.
P-Funk, who's one of the largest corporations or investors in homes in America? Just take a guess. You already know it.
Probably Pfizer.
BlackRock. BlackRock.
I was going to
guess. BlackRock would have been my third.
Okay.
Yep.
So you say, what would you say the first two are? Your guesses are Pfizer and who else?
Raytheon.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't think that foreign entities should be able to buy property here. I don't, honestly, I do not believe that, and I'll just use it because it's in the news, that, but China, but pretty much any country should be able to own a piece of property in America. If you're not a citizen of this country or you don't live here, you don't get to own piece of property.
So which is it?
What?
Well, you can't in China.
What?
You can't in China. Why should they be allowed to
exactly. do it? What was your question?
Well, which is it? Live here or a citizen? Because it should be one or the other.
Like my Iranian neighbor, he's not a citizen, but he lives here. He works here. He pays his taxes here. I believe he deserves to own a house.
Okay, so how long do you have to live here before?
I don't know.
A resident.
Or are we talking about individuals or corporations? Because corporations are not the same thing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's true.
But you do have some rich individuals buying property. You can't tell me that there's not some rich Chinese guy out there buying up property. But I mean,
in California, because the squatter laws are backwards.
Yeah.
Here.
But what I'm getting at is I think you would see a huge, I'm going to upset some people here, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think you would see a huge relief in the housing market, not just buying homes, but renting apartments. If you made it illegal for a corporation to own a home, a house, okay? I'm okay with corporations owning apartment buildings. I'm okay with that. Because apartment buildings that are owned by individuals typically are slums.
So a single family home they could not purchase.
Cannot own one.
Okay.
Cannot own one. Unless you live here and pay taxes here, you can't own one of those.
And that, just P-Funk, that is something me and Dave disagree on that I have not come over to. I'm the believer yet, but I may be getting there sooner or later.
Yeah, well, you know, when Apple and a bunch of the other techies bought all that land out near the Air Force base and didn't want to tell anybody what was going on, and it turns out it's a planned community in their utopian society, you know, they don't want you driving more than 15 minutes to any one thing. They want you to just stay in that one spot. And if you think that's a crazy conspiracy theory, go look it up yourself. That's what they want to create. They want to create essentially what we used to have, which is kind of funny because they're all against colonialism, but those were the colonies, right? You lived in this small area. You didn't go. I mean, it was a big deal to go from New York to California, right? The Donners didn't make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the women and children did, just not the men.
Yeah. But again, that was the whole idea that you bought from the local market.
Right.
You know,
right. But the local market's going to be owned by Apple.
Yeah. Well, that's how it is now. You know, like I'm not like anti Walmart, but if I had a good mom and pop shop in my area, you know, I would try to support it. I mean, I do go to Applebee's here and there, but there are some mom and pop restaurants that I also support too, because they do good food, and I want to support the small business owners,
the locals.
Yeah.
What's your opinion, Patrick,
on which of the five topics that we just talked about?
Supporting the local.
The topic is really I am very anti-corporation. Sometimes I think they're a necessary evil. Aaron is pro corporation because he works for one. I was anti corporation
for about 4 more weeks, Dave.
Yeah, I was. Oh, so you're going to come to my side once those 4 weeks are up? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a believer.
When I when I was working for a corporation, I was anti corporation. But see, now like Walmart, I think is an American business story because, you know, this guy saw a need and he filled it. Where my hatred of Walmart comes in is you're a multi-billion-dollar corporation and the Walton family is worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. Pay your people a living wage.
Well, yeah, I think if you've got, you know, $15 billion in the bank, you know, I think that should be reasonably expected. But, you know, I have the opinion that, you know, not all jobs are supposed to be living wages either.
Well, that's not. Yeah, I have that opinion as well. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you've heard all the horror stories out of Walmart of how they treat employees and stuff like that. And that's all I'm saying is take care of your employees.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And they're the fact that they pay minimum wage or a little above or whatever it is. I don't know what they make there, but they are able to crush their competition, the small mom and pop stores, because mom and pop can't buy in mass from China.
Well, they don't make, I mean, if you've ever known anybody that owns a small business, and they will tell you straight up, the government doesn't make it easy.
No,
I mean, the system is rigged against the small business owner, but the small business owner is what drives, you know,
the economy,
job creation in the economy. So, I mean, this is basic economics, but it seemed like for years, we didn't know what was going to take Walmart down. You know, Walmart was this, we all hated Walmart. It was this big company. It came into neighborhoods and, you know, completely destroyed all the local mom and pop shops. Now what's Walmart's biggest threat? Amazon.
Right.
Nobody's going to Walmart and everybody's ordering all their stuff online and have it delivered to their house.
Yeah. I can wear my pajamas and crop top at home. I don't have to go out in public and wear it.
Right. So, I mean, Amazon's now the new Walmart.
Yeah.
So, you know, corporations have a tendency to come and go. You know, it's just whoever's the next biggest innovator in consumerism. So, and I can't stand Amazon. Even though we buy from Amazon, I have to deal with them on a corporate level with my job. And if you ever have to deal with Amazon, you don't deal with a real human being. You're dealing with bots.
Right.
If I have a problem with a product, there's not a human being there for me to interact with. There's not a buyer anymore.
Isn't that maddening? That's maddening.
It is. I was trying to add 20 new products to our catalog. And it was rejecting our company's UPC codes. And I make a long story short, I mean, it didn't get resolved because I couldn't get to a human.
Right. And that's a problem. And I mean, I don't want to come off like a hypocrite. I own stock in Walmart and Amazon, but that's not because I like those companies. It's because I know those companies make money and I like money. And I'm trying to save up to buy a house. So,
yeah, you got to have it to live.
Yeah. So it's kind of a necessary evil for me. But, you know, I'm not all in support of the AI that's going on, but I'm invested in those chips because, man, they're making a lot of money right now. So, I guess I compromised my principles for that. But isn't that part of being an adult?
Oh, that's being American.
Okay. All right. All these things that we're talking about contribute, and I know it's not what you wrote about, but it contributes to the title of The Fall of America, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where it's going with all of this.
It all depends on how, you know, is America the America that was founded back in the 1700s now? We're not the same nation. Now, obviously, I think we, in a lot of ways, are better than what we were. Not necessarily as pick whatever metric you want to measure our success, economic, military, social. I mean, I think, you know, we started out with some great ideals and we've achieved, you know, I think we've probably achieved as much equality and as freedom as any republic can. But, you know, now I think we're kind of falling on our own sword in a sense of, you know, we're de-evolving, you know, as a nation. And it's because we have no moral soil in which to plant our future.
It's very interesting you brought that up. Because I remember this is very impactful for me. And at the time, I didn't think it was, but it stuck with me all these years. So obviously it was. When I was in high school, I went to a Christian high school. It was accelerated Christian education was the curriculum, if anybody's familiar with ACE. By the way, I was so upset that Gothard, I watched this documentary on Gothard that they adopted that whole ACE thing. And I want people to know that ACE thing is not what that Gothard thing is not what I learned through ACE. Anyways, I forget where I was going with this now. Oh, the impact, someone wrote in this curriculum that we were de-evolving. This was the 80s. We were de-evolving. We were actually going back. And I thought to myself, this is the stupidest thing I've ever read. We're clearly not de-evolving. We are evolving. Look around. You got CDs and we got space shuttles and we're clearly evolving. But man, I noticed sometime around the late 90s, I went, it's right. They were right. Yeah. They were right. We are de-evolving.
Well, probably in the 80s, we saw the first symptoms of the disease, you know, and I would say a lot of it kind of started in the 60s.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, that's kind of because when we shifted moral ground.
I don't want to get into a women's rights issue argument. That's for a different show. And quite honestly, I'm not a woman. So, you know, I hesitate in the women's rights argument, you know, I'm there for support type of thing. But anyways, I have had a friend that was from Ireland and his wife was a stay-at-home mom. And it worked out for them and all of that. They had two kids in suburbia and all that. But we were talking one time. Now, I told you he was Irish because I wanted to give you some background on how he was brought up. And I asked him one time, I'm like, hey, all this crazy stuff. And this, by the way, back in like 2005, all this crazy stuff in society going on right now and all that. I said, where do you think we took the turn? And this was his opinion. When we encouraged women to go work. Now, that's a very misogynistic thing to say. I agree. If a woman wants to go work, go work. Okay. However, what I think he was getting at was when we started telling women that they weren't useful unless they had a job.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's something to that. I mean, the value, what is the value of a human? If you said, who are you? How do you define yourself? Do you define yourself because of the things that you do? You know, who are you? And I think it goes back to a lot of the basic questions, you know, who am I as a person? Am I just a man? Well, we can't even agree on gender anymore. You know, yeah. You know, well, I know what I am, you know, biology tells me. Yeah. I mean, this, you know, but as Americans, you know, what are we? I mean, what is an American anymore?
Well,
there's no way we could agree on that.
We've diluted the pool, and I don't mean that in a racist way. I'm not speaking of race, okay? Speaking of culture, we were so much a part of, please come to America. We're so accepting and tolerant. And I'm not saying these in bad ways. It's the way we really were, right? We're so accepting and tolerant. Please come over here. We'd love to have you here. And many Americans still feel the same way. But then you had these crazy liberals who were like, well, you can't do this anymore because that's going to offend that group. And you can't do this anymore because that's going to offend that group. And you can't do this because that's going to offend that group. So we gave up our culture to not offend anybody.
Well, we used to be a melting pot. We took the best of everybody's culture and we made it our own, and we excised the parts that didn't work. And now when we excise the parts of other people's cultures that doesn't work for us, then that's where our problem is, because not everything that comes from someone else's culture is good for the whole. Yeah. Like Sharia law.
Right.
It's not going to work here.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever work here because, like I said, those college kids that are out there protesting right now, when it smacks them in the face that, you know, under Sharia law, the women can't drive to the grocery store themselves. You can't drink alcohol. You can't go outside without your hijab on or without a man accompanying you.
Your property. That's your right. You're now a piece of property.
Yeah, you don't even get a say in the guy you marry.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I think that's the point, is that we're not taking, you know, I know tolerance is kind of, it's touted as a virtue, but I don't know if it's really a virtue. I'm tolerant of certain things because I'm a civilized human being and that's what we should do. But, you know, and I'm going to take a page from Dr. Michael Ramsden. And if he asked me, oh, how was that restaurant you went to last night? Oh, it was tolerable.
Yeah, I wouldn't
would
go to that restaurant.
To go to
nope.
it?
Nope.
No, no. Oh, so, I would eat there if it was the only option that I had.
Right. That's like, okay, that's my default. Yeah. There's nothing else that's any good. I guess I'll get that.
Yeah. Well, I remember there was a band I used to go see, and they would talk about diversity is our strongest point in America, how diverse we are. And I kept thinking to myself, boy, on those NBA championship teams, I don't see no Asian guys.
Yeah.
You know,
not a lot of little people that play in the NBA.
There's no Spanish guys.
DEI in the NBA and see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, there is DEI. They're called the Detroit Pistons right now and some other teams.
Well, they invited white people in, huh?
Yes. But
they didn't see the movie.
Again, I think the whole idea was a noble effort that we can be diverse and have different people on stage and be collective. But overall, it doesn't work. We need the best people in jobs, best people as
flying planes and building planes.
Yeah, as building homes, pastoring churches.
Let me touch on a couple of things.
Yeah, huh? meritocracy works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me touch on a couple of things he said. As Americans, you know, our greatest strength is not our diversity. You want to know what our greatest strength is?
Competition?
No.
Okay.
Our unity.
Oh, okay.
We're the United States. We need to be united for a change. And the government, AOC and her ilk, do not want us united.
No.
Look at her. Look at the squad. Are they ever happy? No, they're always pointing their finger in your face, telling you what you should have done better.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here then. Are you trying to say that Tennessee should become California or California should become Tennessee?
I think America should become Tennessee.
Okay.
Except for Nashville.
That's a serious question.
That's a serious answer.
Okay.
Nashville, I was looking around the time that we started this show. I was looking at Nashville. I was looking at houses and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this place looks amazing. It looks like my kind of people. Amazing. And Nashville looks so much fun and all of this. And then I heard about all the liberalism there. And then P-Funk mentioned Murfreesboro. And I went, I kind of like that place. I don't care if you want to have pockets of liberalism, that's fine, whatever you want to. I want people to live how they want to live. I want everyone to live without how they want to live.
Yeah, I it doesn't bother me that that states are different. I think that's how the founding fathers wanted that.
Well, I don't want to live on either extreme.
Okay.
I think what makes America great is because we have people on two sides. I think what makes us great is what comes out in the middle. You know, right. When we hash things out, we get the middle of the road. The problem is we keep slingshotting from extreme to extreme. And not just that in our ideas, but in our leaders. I mean, we've got to go back to a more moderate and boring political system.
I want to correct you, P-Funk. They're not leaders. These are our elected officials.
Well, whatever they're supposed to be.
I get it, but we call them leaders, and they're not leaders. Leaders implies that they
know what they're doing, where they're going.
That and that they're in charge. And they're not in charge. We're in charge. They're a hired employee, as far as I'm concerned. And if they ain't doing the job, they need to get fired. And I'm not even trumping that one. You know what I mean? I'm not doing the whole you're fired thing. No, if they're not doing the job that I hired them to do, then I gotta wait them out their contract. But voting day comes around and I'm voting to fire that dude.
Yeah.
Or AOC or whoever. You know what I mean? I don't get to vote in AOC's district because I'm not an idiot.
So where's the conspiracy here?
Well, the conspiracy, in my opinion, is that it's motivated and funded, and we all know that this stuff is being funded by dark money, George Soros, bad actors in our capital. I just read an article about a Democrat congressman from Texas. I read this last night. This just broke last night. I can't remember the cooler. C-U-E-L-L-E-R, I think was his name. He took $600,000. Now, of course, you know, we got to wait for his day in court and all that. But, you know, anytime I hear a politician took bribe money, I go, it probably happened. He took $600,000 from Azerbaijan to influence what was going on in Congress to favor Azerbaijan over Armenia. Now, if anybody doesn't know what's going on, Azerbaijan invaded Armenia. You're upset about Russia invading Ukraine or Israel invading Gaza. You're totally neglecting Azerbaijan invading Armenia. and you don't have your finger on the pulse of anything. It's just what CNN is shoving down your throat. And here's where the conspiracy theory comes in, is those people are getting rich off of it. Why? What incentive do they have to not destroy America from the inside?
I think they don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they have no idea if they destroy America, what is going to happen. You know, it's some like, we have this idea, but we don't know the consequences of our idea.
You know what I think, but, and before I say what I think, I'm going to throw this one out there as well. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is true. It happened. Bill Gates said in the next 2 years that he wants everybody to have a digital ID or they can't participate in society. What does that sound like to you? What does that sound like?
Mark of the Beast.
Yeah. And he's just going to put it on your phone until Elon figures out how to implant that phone in your brain.
I think it's all satanic. I mean, it's all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's all moving in that direction. And we're all comfortable going along with it.
Right. And I think that you have bad actors like Hillary Clinton and Obama and Jill Biden that they're all pushing for this new world order.
Well, yeah, I mean, they think they're going to be the rulers of it. I mean,
and Americans are the only thing standing in the way.
For sure. I mean, if you read the article, you know, we're the only thing that's standing between the rest of the world and Israel.
Yeah.
And eventually we have to fall. If biblical prophecy is true, and I'm just saying because
it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. If it is true, then Israel has to stand alone against the rest of the world. And that's why the United States has to fall. Or the United States will either fall or turn against Israel itself.
Well, I think you might see it turn against Israel, to tell you the truth.
It looks like that every day, doesn't it?
With yeah, it's getting closer and closer to it. And the reason I say that is because, you know, if this was the only war going on right now, and take out these crazy far left extremist radicals, okay, take them out of the equation. They're zeros. But if it was just the Israeli war going on that we were funding, that would be one thing. But we're already tired of Ukraine and we sent them $200 billion, and most of it they can't account for. I mean, Americans are tired of being at proxy wars, being in proxy wars all the time.
We'll see this November how tired we are.
Yeah, because we had 4 years of no wars. You want to know why? Because we had a dad. And I don't mean that like I need the government to be a parent. I'm using it as an illustrator. We had a dad that went over to Syria and spanked him.
Well, I we'll see how tired we are. How many of those congressmen lose their jobs this November because they sent money to Ukraine?
I'm going
to
tell you now, I've changed my view on this. And you may like this, you may hate this because you kind of changed your views too. I'm starting to become a fan of MGT. I still think she's an idiot, but after what happened with the Ukrainian bill and all those, all those treasonous people, those traitors who waved Ukrainian flags in our Capitol, every one of those people, Republicans and Democrats, should be censured. Every single one of them.
And instead of censoring it, why don't we just vote them out?
I was going to get to that.
Okay.
And I said that day that I was watching that stuff, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. If they're on my ballot and they voted for that bill, I'm voting against them. That means Republicans, I'm going to vote for a Democrat. Because you waved a flag and sent those guys billions of dollars when we got people dying over here.
You secured their border without securing our border.
We got homeless people that are dying. We got homeless vets that are dying. We got the Maui fires. Those people haven't even been restored.
Yeah, there's Tulsi Gabbard was on Rogan talking about that this week. Nothing has happened.
Nothing
has happened.
And it's not going to happen because just like Joe Rogan said, they're going to wait them out.
Oh, yeah. And the government can do that.
Yeah. They can wait 100 years if they want to.
Yeah.
It's going to be theirs. They want it and it's going to be theirs.
Yeah. I hate to say it. And anytime you say something like this, you sound kooky and, you know, whatever. I don't care. It's all a part of the plan.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. It's all a part of the plan. Conspiracy theory for another day. Going to really upset some people. I question if the Ukraine war is even real.
Wagging the dog.
Yep. You want to know why? Because when I'm on X and I scroll through and I see the IDF posting videos, actual war videos, and I see Hamas and the Gazans posting actual war videos, and then I see, and I follow all these, I don't follow Hamas, but they pop up, I don't want to say Hamas, let me back up with that, Hamas supporters pop up on my feed, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
All right. But I see these these true war videos. And then, or what look to be true war videos. But you know what? I don't see anything out of Russia. I don't see any propaganda coming out of Russia. Not saying that they don't. I'm just saying it doesn't come across my feed. And everything that Ukraine posts are these beautiful influencers taking pictures in front of war-torn areas. And then marching soldiers that say we're going off to fight. And then I see pictures of drone attacks on people and tanks where there doesn't seem to be anything going on around them. Is this war even real?
Well, and that's the question, you know, I'm really surprised. Because how is this conflict even going still? Are the soldiers? They were talking about in the fall that there aren't, the Ukrainian army is pretty much decimated. Who is actually doing fighting?
So let's put it in a different perspective. If Texas wanted to secede from America, and we had another war here. The contiguous are all the rest of the 49 states against Texas. Who's winning that war? Honestly, I mean, we could throw as many jokes out about, you know, the lefties and all that, not being prepared for, you know, something like that. But honestly, we're talking about a country that is no bigger than Texas. Taking on a country the size of Russia?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I honestly thought it was going to be over in a couple of days.
Well, it does not make sense how they're actually fending off a nation the size of Russia.
Right.
I mean, it's either the greatest cluster in military history, which it could be.
Yeah.
It could be the biggest cluster in Russian military history. Or there's some serious wagging the dog going on there.
I don't see a lot of media of like women in Russia crying about their husbands dying. And maybe that's the suppression of information from Russia. I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not seeing the same thing out of Russia and Ukraine that I'm seeing out of Israel and Gaza. The Russian Ukraine video looks far too shiny and produced.
Well, from what I understand, and you know, the SBC has a lot of missionaries over there. There's a lot of reports coming out from that. I mean, it's pretty much, from what I gather, it's pretty much has devolved into trench warfare like World War One. And they, I don't know if you ever watched Redacted. They're talking about, you know, they have these machines now that are in Ukraine. Well, we've had them that basically dig trenches. And it's basically, it's devolved into trench warfare. That's what's happening. They're literally fighting for meters at this point.
Are you talking about the Ukrainians?
Ukrainians and the Russians.
Oh, that's, so I mean, but I mean, who took it to the trench? I mean, is it because the Ukrainians did not have the technology to stave off Russia that they decided to go old school on this? Is that
the lack of options. I mean, I'm not a military strategist.
Kind of the same thing I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I read, you know, and to me, the whole Ukrainian situation, and somebody's going to say, you're a Putin apologist. No, I think I'm a common sensus.
Yeah. You know,
I wouldn't want nuclear weapons with NATO countries on my border either.
Right.
I mean, the whole issue about Ukraine is, if Ukraine becomes NATO, it pretty much just opens the door for an invasion into Russia. I mean, that's what it all boils down to. Because it's like Gaza. It's a non-defensible position because it's pretty much just flat until you get to Moscow. You know what I'm saying? There's no geography that prevents invasion. You know, and I know, and it sounds very Hitler-esque, you know, Russia needing a buffer zone, but all that stuff is strategically accurate. It's strategically real. Yeah. And I'm not saying what Putin did was right. But I understand the military.
His thought process is what you understand.
I understand the process.
Right.
He's talking about.
And that's the thing is people like me with just an opinion and no real knowledge of, you know, what's going on over there other than what I see.
Yeah. Well, they don't give us all the information.
No. And I'm being honest that what I'm saying right now is just what I deduced out of it. I have no facts to back me up. It's just, you know, how you look at something, you look at a car accident and you go, I could see that dude probably ran the red light and hit that dude. And then, you know, you could be wrong about it though. Yeah. I'm just saying that's what I picked out of this. And, I'm starting to believe it's not real. When I see videos of the nightlife in Kyiv, I go, well, wait. I thought Kyiv was about to fall and we had to fight back and all that. And I asked somebody that is a little more familiar with, you know, what's going on over there. And I was like, hey, I'm seeing these war-torn videos out of Gaza. But I'm seeing these nightlife videos out of Kyiv. What's this about? And they told me that, well, actually the war is only going on in like an upper corner of Ukraine. It's just a small area. The rest of the country's fine. That's what this person told me, who's familiar with, I don't want to talk too much or say too much about this person, but they know what's going on in the world. Okay. I'll put it that way. They know. I trust them to know. This person said, hey, it's not really taking over the whole country. Now, this person's a Ukraine supporter, so it wasn't like she was downplaying it, but, you know, it's just up in this northern eastern corner of the country. And we're sending them billions while we let our schools rot, while we let our homeless vets die on the street.
It's all while we plan.
Yep. And I believe, here's my conspiracy theory. I believe the plan is one world government. America's in the way. And how are we going to get bring America to its knees? Because say what you want about Americans. You saw it on 9/12. This country was born on blood. We're a carnivore, man. And that ain't ever going to change. It ain't ever going to change. No. You got people in the Midwest that are patriots, man, and they will die for this country.
Yep.
Because they'd rather live in this country than a one world government.
Yep.
P-Funk, do you believe in the theory of we have a uniparty in Washington? A uniparty. You know, that they act like two parties, but it's really
controlled resistance.
Yes.
You saw the greatest example of the uniparty when they signed that Ukraine aid bill. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I don't think of it in that terminology, but yeah, I think it's all controlled resistance at this point. I think we're all just, you keep flipping that coin, Democrat, Republican. Yeah. It's still the same coin.
I'm starting to believe that, you know, a third party might emerge from all of this. I mean, a strong third party, not a Jill Stein type of third party.
Not a Green Party.
Yeah, no. I mean, a real third party. And dare I say, it's probably going to be a MAGA party. And the reason I say that, hang on, the reason I say that, because this occurred to me the other day as I was watching all this stuff. This is a week or two ago, watching all this stuff on Trump and everything. And you know, I haven't gotten into the Trump trials too much because it just drives me insane. I want to see, I don't trust Fox and I don't trust CNN. I just want to read the documents. I want to see for myself and make my own decision. And I can't do that. So I don't get too involved with it. But what I see happening, if Trump's right or wrong, that's not part of this conversation. They're making a martyr out of him. And while I don't buy into the whole cult status of Trump, yes, sure, there are some cult status, you know, people that support Trump, but you're making a Jesus out of this guy. And I don't mean that blasphemously, but you're making him a modern day martyr Jesus. And he may possibly go down in history as the guy who tried to save America, but we crucified him.
Yeah. He's definitely being turned into the American Messiah.
Write that down. Patrick. That's a good song. That's a great album. Name American Messiah, because
it's in my article.
Yeah. That's really what they're doing. And I don't mean to be blasphemous. I was just trying to use that as a way to compare it, because
I still don't think Trump's going to make it to November. If they don't, I'm not wishing this. I'm not participant, and I think he'll be killed if they don't. If they don't convict him in courts, they will kill him before November comes.
Yeah, I think
going to let him be president.
Well, I think you may be right there. I think he surrounded himself because he's learned. I think he surrounded himself with a pretty tight security around himself. Insulated, I guess, is the right word. But
you know, I'm really surprised, and I'm going to backtrack to the Ukraine thing. I'm really surprised that we're not right now in a shooting war with Russia over the terrorist attack that happened in Moscow.
Because you think that was related to Americans?
CIA fingerprints. All
really?
Over. Yeah. Really? You've not done your homework if you think, come on, who took responsibility for it?
I don't know. I just read that it happened. I didn't know a lot about it.
Okay. Go back, do your homework, and then we'll talk about it later.
All right.
Because it's got CIA written all over it. Mm. And there were people holding their breath over the whole thing because it looked like CIA. I mean, and I still believe the CIA was involved in it because who set up the terrorists that attacked?
Mm.
CIA.
Well, you know,
Christians America in action.
Hey, we like to send money over to those organizations. You know, you said a Putin apologist earlier. This just popped into my head because I was trying to figure out a way to explain. I'm no Putin apologist. I'm no fan of Russia. I do believe that there's going to come a day. There's going to be I fear saying Gorbachev because I always felt he was weak. But there's going to come a day that there's going to be a guy like Gorbachev who is open to talking. And there's going to come a day that we have a strong American president like Reagan or Trump that can broker some peace. Okay. I don't think that Putin is so stupid as to think that it wouldn't be beneficial to be at peace with America. It's good for all. Okay. But every hero needs a villain, and we're their villain and they're our villain. And I think when people like me and you say, you know, I'm no Putin apologist, but I understand this and I understand, you know, it's not being a Putin apologist. I think it's just Americans going, hey, that's a big bear over there. I don't think you should whack it on the nose with a stick.
Yeah, well, I have friends that are Russian that, you know, I was doing business with up until Russia invaded Ukraine. And, you know, I kind of get an indirect view of everything that happens over there because, I mean, he pretty much evacuated Russia with his family, you know.
And, oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. With the terror attacks?
Well, no, that was before right after the war started.
Oh.
You know, that's how crazy it is, you know. But I mean, I'm pro Russian people. You know, they're good people, hardworking people. They're used to suffering. It's all a part of their culture. But you know, I think they're the real losers in all this. You know, just like the Americans are the real losers, you know, people are the losers in all this because you got Russia's government burning all their money and all their time and resources in on fighting that war. We're burning a ton of money and our resources fighting on a needless war.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't trust Zelensky as far as I can throw him.
No.
And it's just, to me, I feel like we're being drawn in, you know, if you throw in Gaza, you throw in Ukraine, Taiwan will be next.
Yep.
We're going to be on a war in three fronts.
Why do you think we sent them money? The thing is I, because you mentioned it, I don't blame the people of any country for things that their governments are doing. You know, I did say, well, Gazans, you did allow Hamas to control your government. You should have rose up as a people and taken your land back from Hamas. Okay, because they're the ones getting you into all this trouble.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, if a dozen guys show up at your house with, you know, AK-47s,
what are you gonna do?
What can you do?
What are you gonna do? So you know, I don't blame
the whole Gaza. I mean, you got to remember Gaza. I mean, it's an indefensible position, militarily speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at the geography of the place. You can't keep it. It can't be held. I mean, it's like Ukraine. They're very simple. It's a very simple. It has everything to do with military strategy. It has to do with how, you know, it's a losing proposition either way you go with how you handle those situations. And at the end of the day, it's all about power and money. I mean, it's kind of cliche, but you know, Israel, you know, Israel was, I mean, if you look at the October attacks, I mean, it was just barbarism at its best. And I don't fault Israel at all for the way they were responding. Nope. And when after the Russian attack, I wasn't going to fault Russia with how they were going to respond either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, you know, if I had to say anything positive, I think their response has been very well tempered. Mm-hmm. And after Iran attacked Israel, you know, I was very surprised, you know, after that little tit for tat, that we just really didn't get into a shooting war there. I think the surprise in that situation was Jordan. Because Jordan was shooting down the Iranian missiles over their territory.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think the both Iranian strikes, the one under Trump and this one, they were just for show.
Oh yeah, it's all dog and pony show for sure.
That was just for show. And by the way, I've spoken with some Iranians that are there, and they believe the same thing. You know, we're sitting here trying to solve the world's problems, and what I'm getting at, I'm not any revolutionary or anything like that. I do believe we need a government by and for the people, okay? Because we need somebody to take care of some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame the people of any country for what some bad government has done. Yeah. That's just stupid on any level, and that's why everybody is calling these kids at these Jew-hating rallies stupid, because they are stupid.
Well, they don't even know why they're there most of the time.
They don't know why they're there. It's a party for them. It's spring break 2.0. But you know, you're looking at people like that, and the rest of the world's going, eh, looks like Americans, even though their government's behind Israel, looks like Americans are actually behind Gaza. And you go, well, no, what you're seeing is maybe not even a full percentage of people in America.
No, it's yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So what I'm getting at, though, is that all this nonsense, wars going back and forth, the only beneficiaries of these things is the industrial war complex and a bunch of politicians. And the average Joes like us in every country are left holding the bag. We get to pay for it, and then we get to die for it.
Yeah.
Let me read this here. This is three paragraphs from P-Funk's article, I think. Be good to summarize. Neither have the moral or personal integrity to lead our country out of this mess, because we do what the satanic forces against our nation want: to polarize and divide. America needs a leader that appeals to both sides, to call people to the middle, so our nation can mend this rift. Part of our herd mentality, we want to rally behind someone, but we can no longer wait for that person to emerge. We must act alone, resisting and pushing back, not just in words, but in action. Start with voting with your wallet. As I have often mentioned, not spending your money on companies that don't support your ideas. It may require some effort, but it's not too hard to see on social media what flags companies are waving. This next paragraph, the next part is the toughest, but it is the most important. Start speaking out and speaking up for what you believe. If you are loud enough, you will discover that people will join you. Soon your voice will become a chorus of voices. Don't be afraid to create your own herd of resistors and believers. It may take some time, but it will happen. You never know what might be the spark that lights the flame of someone significant of moral character and integrity to rise that we can rally behind. And I think that's totally true, how we get out of this mess. Now, I'm not saying the Governor DeSantis is that person or not, but clearly, though, he has done some things to spark ideas. You know, we need to do this. you know, when he stood up to the Title IX mess that Biden was having, that's for another show.
Yeah.
He said, we're not doing that in Florida. And then some other people from other states said, we're not doing that. But it only takes one person to go, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And others like it all started, this overturn of Roe v. Wade, all started with a law that started in Mississippi, one of the smallest states and poorest states in our union, that said, we're not doing this in our state. And someone said, oh, you can't make that law. And they go, you know what?
Watch me.
Well, watch me.
Yeah.
And we are. And they stood up.
Well,
and next thing you know, Roe v. Wade was defeated.
By the way, from 2016 to 2020, how many times did we hear Governor Newsom say, yeah, we're not going to do that here? Yeah, I know Trump passed the law and everything. He signed it. No, we're not doing it here. We're just not going to do it.
Well, when the Supreme Court told Biden he couldn't erase people's college debts, he goes, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it anyway.
Did the Supreme Court send the sergeant of arms to arrest him?
No,
because they can't do that. They have no authority.
Because he got presidential immunity, which is what I'm hoping that they take away from Trump, just so we can throw Biden in prison and let him rot out the rest of his days in prison, because that's where that guy deserves to be, because he skirted the Constitution. He wiped his butt with it and went, I'm doing this anyways.
Well, he's taking money from the Chinese while vice president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a traitor.
Call it what it is.
He's taking money from
our adversaries.
Yeah. He's a traitor
of the highest order.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of just because it popped into my head, and we'll wrap up with this.
Yeah.
Did anybody see the video of Byron Donalds out at the campus in Florida? I believe it was in Florida, because that's where he's from, right?
Yes.
So did anybody see him out on the campus?
No, I did not see.
Go look up the video of Byron Donalds being called a race traitor by one of these, you know, Hitler youth. Anyways, this woman calls him a race traitor, and he turned around, and you would have thought she called him the N-word. And good for him. Good for him. He stood up to these people. That's the guy I want in the White House.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, find it. Just Byron Donalds, race traitor.
Okay. Put the link to.
The point. You know, if we have to speak out, when I think silence is what's killing us as a nation.
And I guess I'm taking a tip from Drew Barrymore here, when she called, we need a mamala. No, we don't need a mamala. Okay. And so stupid. And honestly, we don't need a dad. So this is more, you know, metaphorically speaking, this country needs a dad, though, because there's some people in this country that, and I don't mean this, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't mean it. I mean it figuratively. I don't mean it literally. But there's some people in this country that need a spanking.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, because they need a time out.
You know what, though? We need a bunch of white privileged frat boys to go, we've had enough,
man. And
we've had enough.
And that's
enough is enough.
And I say, I know you said you don't do the GoFundMe. I have not donated to their GoFundMe. But if you got even $10 and you want to reward these kids, because that's what I think they should. I think they need the positive recognition that they're getting. I think they, you know, it goes back to, we need a dad. What did you do? Good behavior got positive reinforcement. Bad behavior got nothing. It got negative reinforcement. So, and who's complaining the most right now? The Jew hating pro Hamas protesters who are upset at the frat boys who now have $400,000 to throw a rager of a party that celebrities want to come to and play at. Good for them. Reward them. Take your $10. Go to GoFundMe. And I don't even know where the thing is. Go help those kids out. They deserve to be rewarded for their actions. And while I'm at it, I did donate to GoFundMe to a cause this week because I read a story about a guy who he was a firefighter in New York, and he had a heart attack, but the insurance was taking care of it. It got him back to health, and he got to go back to his work, his job. And then because of this migrant invasion that they have going on, New York cut resources, and he lost his job, and he lost his insurance, and he lost his $500,000 life insurance that would have taken care of his family.
Wow.
So when you sit there and say, the migrants, the illegals aren't taking the jobs, they're not killing anybody. There you go. Took his job.
Final thoughts, P-Funk?
We're screwed.
is that where you're going to end your writing now? We're screwed.
No, I mean, I can say the Christianese thing and say God is in control. Yeah, I believe God is in control, but I also think, you know, when it comes down to it, and I'll use a term that everybody knows, you know, David actually had to pick up the stones to kill Goliath. He actually had to do the work. I think as Christians, we talk about, we just need to pray. We need to pray. Well, I think we do need to pray, but I think we actually have to do something. I think we need to get off our pews and actually go outside the walls of our church and actually start speaking our minds and, with love, as much love as we can muster, and start pushing back in a great way. If we're really fed up, then we should be, you know, it's like I was trying to, you know, I was in the last episode, I was trying to say, what's it going to take to get you out of your chair to mobilize and go do something? And I think this is where we are. I think we love our creature comforts more than we love our freedoms. And I think that's why America
is in your article.
Yeah, I think
that's so true.
Yeah, and you know what else is in your article is that that phrase, you know, good men create help me out here. Good men create weak men create hard times. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men. Yeah, that's it. So I right now, with what those kids did on that campus, I think we're into the create good men portion of that.
Well, I think we're certainly,
we're coming into that.
I hope there's a younger generation that's looking at things going, this isn't right. You know, regardless of what you think of America, whether you believe in systematic racism or not, we are really the best, in my opinion, the best country on the planet, because we have the right to say, you know, and speak and what we please without government, you know, coming down on you. And that, you know, that when we lose our freedom of speech, then it's really over for Americans.
Yeah.
It's really over. And
well, that's why those are the First and Second Amendments, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what the country was based on.
I think for the time for prayer is over in a metaphorical sense, and now is the time for action. And
and we're not saying in a violent way.
No, not in a violent way, but you know, being vocal.
You just have to be clear today, because the way people like to take things out of context.
Sure. No, I would. You know, political violence has no place in our democracy. Well, our republic, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that we have laws that allow us to change laws. But you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, that I think there's so many facets and there's so much going on in the world. And I think we're so overloaded with information that we're distracted beyond belief, you know. And I don't think social media helps. I think, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I think when history looks back on social media, it's not going to be with kind eyes.
Nah.
You know, I think Jesus in one word could have spread the gospel, but he sent the 12. He sent the disciples to do it for him. Yeah. And he wanted to see them act. And I think, you know, I think prayer is an action also. But again, we have to do some other things. Just like Jesus sent out those, we need to be sent out to change some things.
Well, and look, you want your country back. You don't need to be violent about it.
No.
Say hello to your neighbor.
Yes.
Kill them with kindness.
Yeah. Let's start living like I remember in the 70s when I was a kid. Growing up in little Orangevale, rural town Orangevale, which was a very rural part of Sacramento at the time. And my mom knew all the neighbors. I knew all the neighbor kids. We all went to school together. We did events together. We, you know, we had the local grocery store that was kind of the hub. Everybody, you would always run into somebody there. We need to get back to that time. Where we know each other and get our face out of the phone. And
we might be advocating for smart communities.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe I buy up a community and I just infest it with intelligent people, and Apple can have their woke liberal AOC type people. But yeah, you want to get back to just living your life in America and enjoying America. Yeah. We need to get back to that era from 1955 to about 1985.
We need to make politics boring again.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be true.
Well, we need a guy like Ike who we just go, don't worry about it. Ike's got it.
You know, these are my favorite episodes. I learned so much when we do these undocumented facts. So it's been great being able to talk these issues and just problems, you know, but just like you said, we know the one who's in control, and but we need to do something about it too.
Well, we have to do our part.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, God's not just, you know, God's not going to just do it. He wants us to get, you know, to move. Yes. If we move, he'll move. Yes. Faith requires action.
Ooh, just a word of advice to a lot of people out there. Don't be these hardcore in your face Christians at the drag time story hour or whatever it's called. I've seen some videos of people just going in and busting them up and everything like that. And I am not in support of them at all.
Really? I haven't seen that, but I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Oh yeah. I watched a couple of videos. This guy was this guy that did it. He was just an antagonist. It was the only reason that he was doing it, which I think is a bad reason to do it, to get clicks. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Hey, ask one of those parents.
Maybe one of the big, and the next one we need to talk about is our mental health crisis in the United States and why we seem to be advocating all these abnormal behaviors and trying to normalize them.
Yeah. Well, there's that, but start off the conversation friendly and ask one of these parents that's allowing their kids to get some drag queen's butt rubbed in their face, why they think that's appropriate. Is this appropriate? Do you think this is appropriate? I don't think it's appropriate, but maybe you can help me understand why you think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
And if you start talking to people like that and trying to understand where they're coming from, instead of telling them you must be a Nazi because whatever.
Yeah.
Well, when they attack me personally, then I know I've won the argument.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the finisher. All right. Let's wrap it up, man. P-Funk, you've got Faith Head. Give your plugs real fast.
Faithhead.com. Please help us out. Don't buy some merch. Donate some money. Tax deductible. We'd appreciate it. We got an album that we're trying to finish up. Hopefully we'll be releasing a new single. We're going to be dropping that one hopefully here in a few weeks. You can visit my Substack, pfunk1975.substack.com, but apparently I'm looking at from the bottomend.com or the pfunkprophecies.com, maybe. I think I might have hit my stride here, but no, just like I said, I feel like there's certain things I got to write about that people need to be aware of, and even if it's just I think if even it's just a dozen people that I'm educating. Like I said in the last one thing that I've discovered in here lately is what's shocking the crap out of me, and apparently a lot of people across the globe, is how many people are disappearing on this planet and we don't know where they're going. And that's, that's a terrifying thing. And
yeah.
And apparently it's becoming people are becoming more aware of it. So, but no, support us at Faithhead. And like I said, join me on my Substack and we'll see where the journey takes us. Like I said, my next series is going to be on the nightmare scenarios and alien invasion, which we didn't get around to talk about today, but maybe later.
Yeah. Yeah. We just kind of skimmed today as far as your Substacks went.
Yeah, well, it's fine. I mean, there's so much going on. The UFO thing kind of got shot. The Congress is pretty much neutered the whole UFO conversation now because they pretty much classified everything again.
Well, it's because they don't need to divert your attention any longer. They've got the protest to divert your attention right now.
Oh yeah, it's a shell game at best, But I think there's been some interesting video that came out of Peru that I'm going to be talking about a little bit. So,
okay,
cool.
Well, if the documents are reclassified, look for them in Joe's garage. They're next to the Corvette.
There you go.
Again, thanks for coming on. These are always a fun, fun show to do. And
I don't know if we made any sense today or not about anything we talked about.
Oh, yeah. We'll do it. I think we talked about doing this every 3 months, didn't we?
Yes.
All right. So let's do that.
Yep.
And we'll dive deeper. I'm sorry. There's just so much going on right now.
Yeah.
But
it's too much to talk about.
Yeah. So, and there's not enough time. So we'll wrap it up here. Thanks, P-Funk.
Thanks, guys.
Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Later.
Hey, B-Funk. So,
Rock Salt Musecast Experience with Aaron, Dave,
Patrick, and Jermaine
on a mission from God.
putting on a facade.